Proverbs 22 and verse number 1. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Some years ago, a young man told me, he said, I do not care what people think about me. And I had to explain to him that that's not a good attitude to have, because the Bible actually tells us just the opposite. The Bible tells us the opposite, that we need to care about what men think about us. And it's not that we're out trying to impress people, but it does matter what people think. Because if we do not have a good name, our testimony for Christ will be marred, and our service for God will be impaired. And so we need a good name or a good reputation. And unbelievers will have reason to blaspheme God's name if we don't have a name that represents Christ and uplifts Him. And they will reject His saving grace. This morning we talked about God's saving grace and oh, how we need to get that message out to the world. And if we don't have a good testimony before them, a good name before them, then they will reject that more rapidly. Now, this evening, as we note the better choice of a good name, God wants us to examine this closely. And I want to show you, as we look at this, the coveted values and the better values, and then the reasons for this. Okay? So three basic points here. First of all, the coveted values. As we look at this verse, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So, the coveted values are the great riches and the silver and the gold. The great riches. As we think about this great riches, it's obviously you're talking about materialistic values, material riches, wealth, the things that this world has to offer. And many people covet those material riches. Oh, if I only had more money. If I only had some more nice things. And they have that kind of an attitude toward things. And great riches do provide comfortable lifestyle, no question about it. People that have a lot of money are able to live in a much nicer lifestyle than those that don't. But they covet after that. They will also fulfill many greeds. You know, many of the things we think we need, we really don't need them. We greed after them. They're things that we really want, but it's not any things we really need. And you know, you don't realize the things that we really need and want until you visit a third world country where the people have almost nothing. And you know, that was what really impressed in my mind when we first went to New Guinea. I remember the first day that my coworker drove me down to the village where we ended up living for 2 years. I had no idea we were going to be living there at the time. But we drove down to that village, and this is the first I'd been really into the bush. And we drove into that village, and I thought, I cannot believe people live like this. I cannot believe it. Just all they had for their earthly possessions is a hut made out of grass roof and actually, it wasn't grass. It was more of the palm leaves that they had braided into, but it looked like grass. It was just a leaf roof and bamboo walls and a dirt floor. And they cooked over an open fire. And I thought, I can't believe this. It just baffled my mind when I first saw that. And then I got used to it, and, you know, that's the way it is. But, you know, we have so much. We have so much, and those people, many of them, could take every single thing that they owned in this life and put it in a big bag and carry it on their shoulders and walk off. Everything they owned. If I put everything I owned in a big bag, it'd be a big bag, and I'd never be able to pick it up. And you probably would say the same. We have so much. We have so much. And yet, to covet after those things, God says, is not right. You know, those who have great riches have an abundance of everything, an abundance of delicious food, and they have an abundance of clothing, an abundance of everything they want because they have the money to buy it. And great riches gain many superficial friends. You know, people that are wealthy, they seem to have lots of friends. Because the friends think, yeah, if I'm his friend, I'm going to get a little bit of that. Every now and then he'll push some my way. And they have lots of friends because of what they want to get. And so there's a lot of reasons why people covet great riches. There's a lot of benefits to that, no question about it. And the silver and the gold, really, silver and the gold and the great riches are kind of synonyms. I mean, it's basically the same thing, whether the riches may deal with more of the materialistic things that we have, whereas the silver and gold are the money behind it that we buy the things with. But they all work together. And people covet silver and gold to have an easier life and to live in ease and to be able to buy or hire others to do the work so we can sit back and relax and not have to do the work ourselves. And so there's advantages of these riches and wealth. There's no question about that. And possession of much silver and gold often gains people fame. You know, you think of people and you can name some people that are multi-billionaires. And you think, oh yeah, he's got billions and billions. And everybody in the world knows who they are because of their name, because they got so much money and so much materialism. But God is telling us here that that is what people covet after. Now let's take a look at the better values God says here. He says better. He says a good name is rather to be chosen, or it's better than great riches. And loving favor is choosed rather than silver and gold. So as we look at the good name, first of all, that's really what the theme of this message is about, is the good name. And a good name refers to a good reputation. It refers to our reputation. It refers to what people know about us. I like what the commentator Wardlaw noted here. He said, a good name is a reputation among fellow men for piety, wisdom, prudence, integrity, generosity, and any other virtue that enters into a good character. So basically he's saying we need good character. We need good character to have these qualities about us that are pleasing to God and uplifting to God and helpful to us. We need these qualities. And he says that deals with a good name, our reputation, what people think about us. But you know, it isn't just what people think about it, but it's also what God himself knows about us. You know, a truly good name is one that God himself calls good. You know, we may have a good name among our neighbors and friends, and people may think of us and say, oh yeah, they're a good person. But that's only superficial. It's what God knows about us that is really important. That's what's really important. And, you know, there are people that we may have on the outside a name where people think, oh, they're a good person, but on the inside be polluted and wrong, and God looks at us and said, no. They've missed the mark. Something's wrong. And we get a good example of this back in the Old Testament. Remember when God told Samuel to go anoint one of David's seven sons as the king. And God didn't tell him right off who. He didn't give him his name. He just said one of Jesse's sons is going to be the next king. And I want you to go anoint him. And so Samuel went down to Jesse's house and said, I need all your boys to come before me one at a time. And God's got a special job for one of them. And I don't know whether he told them right then. You know, it's debatable. Because if he would have told them there that one of them was going to be the king, well, then that boy would be in danger because Saul was still on the throne and Saul would have sought to kill him. And so news didn't get out of what was taking place here. It was done in secret. And so the first man came, Eliab, and he stood before him and he was tall and strong and handsome. And Samuel said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. And then the Lord tells us there in 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And what that is telling us is it's not just about what I am presenting on the outside. It's about what God sees on the inside. If we're going to have a good name, we need to have a good name on the outside and on the inside. And you know, the truth of the matter is, if you have a good name before God, you will have a good name in public. Because God sees more than what man can see. Now, we ask ourselves a very important question. How can we obtain and maintain a truly good name? We need to both obtain and maintain. Obtain to get it. To maintain is to keep it. How are we going to keep and get and keep a good name? Well, God tells us several things here that can be of help to us. Number one is that we need to be we need to carefully guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep our heart. You know, when it means to keep our heart, it's protecting our heart. It means guard what goes in. It means what we watch, what we hear, what we look at, what we read. We need to guard what goes in, because what goes in is going to come out. And garbage goes in, garbage is going to come out. And we need to guard what goes into our hearts. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 22, Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. He said, it all comes from the heart. And so we need to guard our heart. So if we're going to have a good name before God and man, we need to make sure that we guard our hearts. Secondly, if we're going to have a good name, we need to rule our spirit. Rule our spirit. That can be hard at times. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. That means that I've got to guard my spirit. That would deal with my anger. It would deal with my worry. It would deal with the way that I respond to things. The spirit within me. The way that I react to things. I've got to guard that. And I've got to control that. Because if a person that does not control his spirit, you know, let's say he's got an angry spirit and he doesn't control that, everybody that knows him says, oh yeah, that guy, stay away from him, man. He's got a hot temper. You know, he'll blow a stack and you don't want to get in the way when he's doing that. Well, he's got a reputation. That's not a good reputation. That's not a good name. God wants us to have a good name. And God doesn't want us to have a name that is tainted by worry or fretting or struggle or anger or hot temper or any of those things. We need to guard our spirit. And it's hard to rule our spirit at times. Another thing that he tells us, Proverbs 21:23, he says that we are to keep our tongues. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Guard our tongue. Guard our mouth. We open our mouth and our mouth gets us into trouble. We say things we shouldn't say. And we make comments we shouldn't comment on. And say things maybe that aren't true, or say things that are hurtful or harmful. And so we need to be very careful with our tongue. And I mean, we could go on and on with ways that we can obtain and maintain a good testimony. But one more for an example. Proverbs 20 verse 11. We need to be careful what we do. Here in Proverbs 20:11 is one that really applies to the whole family, but it's directed to the children. It says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Even a child. You know, there are some children that, you know, you ask their teacher. I read a funny story the other day that it probably was based on a true incident, but the teacher, you know, the little boy ran home to his mom and says, Mom, the teacher asked me if I had any other brothers and sisters younger than me. And the little boy, and mom says, oh, that was nice of her to ask that. And she says, now, why did she ask that? And he said, I don't know. But then when mom inquired about it, she was hoping she wouldn't have any other ones coming like him. We don't want any more little boys like you. It wasn't so much she was complimenting the little boy. It was like, oh, I hope he doesn't have any other brothers and sisters coming this way. I don't want to teach them. And it ought not to be that way. Even a child is known by their doing, whether his work be good and whether it be pure and right. Now, in short, if we were to just sum this up, biblical character is both obtained and maintained by a good name. A good name. We need a good name. Henry Ford, the man who invented the Ford car way back long ago, made this statement. He said, you can't build a reputation on what you are going to do. You cannot build a reputation on what you're going to do. You build your reputation on what you have done and what you're doing. And so we need to keep that in mind. You know, one foolish action, and this is tragic, but it is absolutely true. One foolish action can ruin a reputation that took a lifetime to gain. All it takes is one foolish action. Do one fool thing. And it can ruin everything. Our whole testimony can be gone because of one foolish action. So we need to be very careful what we do. Now, God clearly assures us that a good name is better than riches. And so we need to seek to obtain and maintain a good name and let God decide what kind of financial standing we'll have. We don't need to worry about the finances. God says that's not important. Whether we have lots or we have little, whether we have an abundance or we have nothing more than a bush shack, it doesn't matter. God will take care of that side of it. What we need to do is work at seeking and maintaining a good name before God and before men. We need to work at that. And then he talks about loving favor. Now, this is interesting. He says, a good name is rather to be chosen than riches and great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. When I started looking up these words, loving favor, I was a bit surprised. Loving favor here is closely related to a good name. In fact, Wardlaw makes a comment. He says, loving favor is the affectionate esteem which springs from a good name. All right, in other words, it's the people's opinion that results from having a good name. But while the word loving simply means good, you look up the word loving, if you just have a Bible app or something like that, and you look up the word loving, you're going to find out it means good. It means excellent. He says, do you need an excellent favor? All right, the word favor there refers to graciousness or elegance or grace. So he's talking about really a good grace or a good favor. God wants there to be good favor toward us because of our good name. So he wants us to have a good name. Now, we frequently find this in the Bible, this word for favor in the context of finding grace in the sight of God. Abraham found grace in the sight of God. Noah found grace in the sight of God. That's the way it was used throughout the scriptures. They found grace in his sight. Now, as we think about that, finding excellent favor in the sight of God and the sight of men is important. Now, finding excellent favor in the sight of men is a good thing to do. But it's far more important that we find excellent favor in the sight of God. It's far more important that God looks down upon us and says, you are doing exactly what I want you to do. You find favor in my eyes. I am pleased with your life. I appreciate the way you're living. You're doing what I want you to do. That is really what we want. You know, because one of these days we're going to stand before God on Judgment Day. And when we do, we all as Christians want to be able to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Every Christian's going to want to hear that. And yet, that won't be true of every Christian, but that's what we desire to hear. Now, know God's advice on how to find this favor in his sight. Well, he gives us several clues in scriptures. One of them is in Psalm 84:11. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace, that's the word, he will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He says, if we walk uprightly, we can have grace in his sight. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor. That's the word. Favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So he said, if we will hang on to mercy and truth and bind them upon our heart, God says that we will find favor with him and with man. One last example, Proverbs 3, verse 34 says, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace, that's the word, he giveth grace to the lowly. Lowly. What's it mean to be lowly? It means to be humble. He says, God gives grace to the humble, the lowly. And so, God's given us an idea here of how do we develop this in our life. Well, he said to have this loving favor or this good favor, this good grace is more valuable than silver and gold. And we get that by being humble before the Lord and by holding on to His Word and following His Word and by receiving it from God because we're walking close to Him. Now, that brings us to the reasons for this. Why did God say what He said? He said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. But why would God say that? Why is it actually better? Well, first of all, a good name gives greater satisfaction than riches. A good name gives greater satisfaction. Having a good name and excellent favor due to a clean heart and noble character gives great satisfaction. It's a joy in the heart to know that I've done right. It's a joy to know that I'm doing what God wants me to do. That's pleasing to my own heart, but it pleases God. The commentator once again states, he says, the satisfaction that arises from character is much higher and purer description, more worthy far than being coveted and valued. All right, so he says this, he says more worthy far of being coveted and valued. So he said this character is far more valuable, far more important to covet this than riches. So in this life, what we really need to be focused on is not how can I get some more money, how can I get more things, how can I get a fancier house, bigger place, bigger car, nicer. No, he said, don't focus on that. Focus on making sure how can I get my life so it's more pleasing to God. How can I have my life so that God looks at me and says, that is what I am pleased with. God is pleased with the way I live. That's what we need. We need a name that God would be honored with and would bless us for. And so we need to seek to obtain and maintain a good name and a good testimony before others. And, you know, much of the Bible is God's admonishing us to flee evil and to follow what is right. Much of the Bible, you look from beginning to end, and it over and again, in one way or another, God's saying, don't do this, that'll hurt you. Do this, this is what pleases me. I mean, really, that sums up what the Bible's all about, is finding out what displeases and pleases God. And we need to obtain and maintain a good name so that we can please God. You know, on the other hand, Matthew Henry stated this. He said, great riches bring greater cares with them and expose men to danger and add no real value to man. You know, the great riches that people have, you think about some of the people that are really rich. Many of them are ungodly. I mean, the really, really rich people. They've got everything money can buy and so much money they don't even know what to buy anything with. And yet they're living an ungodly life. And many of them are miserable. They're unhappy. They've got everything that they could possibly dream of having, and they're miserable and unhappy. And that really isn't the answer in life. And so seeking that is not the answer. God said it's far better to have a good name and a favor with God than to have all the riches of this world. It doesn't work. It doesn't pay. So it's far greater satisfaction. That's the first reason. Secondly, a good name is more useful. It's more useful to have a good name. You know, riches in themselves can only enable a man to live comfortable and maybe to aid some other people. I mean, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having things. And we can help other people and it can make life more comfortable. And there's no question about that, that there's some nice things about that. But having riches but lacking a good name will do very little to advance the cause of Christ. You may have a lot of money, but if you don't have a good name before God and man, you're not going to advance the cause of Christ. You're not going to be able to help God's cause. You're not going to win very many people to Christ. You know, you think about it, people may have lots of money, but if they're not living for God, they're not going to see other people come to Jesus. They're not going to encourage people to walk with God. It's just not going to happen. And so it's far more valuable to have a good name. Having a good name and good favor in the sight of God will enable you to serve the Lord powerfully. It'll enable you to witness for the Lord effectively. It will enable you to gain the praise of God eternally. That's another thing to think about. What about when we get to heaven? You know, we want God to be able to say, well done. Well done. And he talks about giving us crowns and for what we've done. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of Christians who get to heaven, and they're not going to get any crowns because they haven't done anything. They just sit around doing nothing for God. And God says, that's not the way he wants us to live. So a good name will enable us to do those things. Now, Jesus taught in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, he said, for what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And you know, often we've heard that applied to salvation. But in the context, I don't think he was talking about salvation. Several reasons for that. One of them is that he was talking to his disciples. And I believe what he was saying there, when he talks about losing his own soul, the word soul there means life. It's psukse, it means life, to lose his own life. It's the idea of losing what is valuable in this life, losing those opportunities to serve God. What does a man gain if he gains the whole world, but and wastes his opportunities to serve God in a useful way, and he doesn't serve God with him, he's going to stand before God empty-handed. It's of no value. No value. And so we need to be careful where we put our values in this life. We must jealously guard our godly character, not for personal pride, but for God's glory. We say, I want to have a good character. I want a godly character. I want a good name. So we find that the first reason is that a good name gives us greater satisfaction. The second reason is a good name is more useful. Thirdly, a good name will last longer. It will last longer. You know, even if we prudently use the riches that we have, when we die, we're going to leave them all behind. I mean, you can use, if you had lots of money, and you can use all that for really good reasons, but when you die, you're going to leave it all behind. Even if it was very noble reasons you were using it for, even if it was using it to serve the Lord or to support missions or whatever. But when you die, it's done. And on the other hand, having a good name will honor you in this life and then throughout eternity. And that's what really matters. Yeah, flip over to Proverbs. Well, it's just on the other side of the page in my Bible. Maybe it is in yours too. Proverbs 23, and look at verses 1 to 5. I noticed these just the other day in my Bible reading. Proverbs 23, verses 1 to 5. It says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are a deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly will make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. He's just saying here, don't covet the things that the rich guy's got. If you get to eat with him sometime, don't be sitting there thinking, whoa, look at all that food. I'm going to pig down on this, man. Go, woo, woo. He says, don't do that. He said, it's only here for a little time. It's going to have wings and it'll fly away. It'll be gone. Don't covet those kind of things. That doesn't last. We need to focus on the things that do last. And as we think about this, on the other hand, having a good name will honor you, like I said, both in this life and in eternity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. God says, we need to lay up treasures in heaven. How do you do that? How do you send he's not talking about taking your wallet out and sending, you know, 10 bucks to God. No, it's not that. He's talking about doing things that count for eternity. Witnessing to people. telling people about Christ, bringing them to church, reading your Bible, walking with God, refusing to do sinful things, doing things that will please God, and things, basically, it is doing anything and everything that will give you a good name in the sight of God and in the sight of man. He said, that's what's going to last. Now, we don't do that to earn our way to heaven. We talked about this morning. You can't do that. It's not going to help you get to heaven. It's not going to keep you on your way to heaven. But it's the right thing to do if you're going to maintain and get a good name before God and man. Now, maintaining a good name is very important. And the Apostle Paul, of all men, saw the importance of this. And I close with this thought. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, the word castaway doesn't mean Paul was afraid he was going to miss heaven. That's not what castaway means. The word castaway means disqualified. He said, I'm running in a race, not competing with each other. And tonight, you know, we're not competing with each other in this race. I'm not running against you, and you're not running against me, and see who can get there first and do the best job. We're not doing that. But every one of us are running a race to please God. And Paul said, I want to do my very, very best so that I will not be disqualified. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to step out of line. I don't want to displease God. I don't want to break the rules. I want to do what God wants me to do because I don't want to be disqualified. I want to please God. And Paul was really concerned about his name, his reputation before God and man. Thomas Constable, a commentator, summed it up this verse very well when he wrote, true value must be seen, however, not in what one has, but in what he or she truly is. Let me read it again. True value must be seen, however, not in what one has, but in what he or she truly is. And what we truly are. That's what matters. That's what counts. That's what's important. Now, one of the most precious treasures you possess in this life is your name. Your good name. And you need to build it constantly. You need to keep it unspotted. You need to protect it passionately. You need to guard it jealously. You need to pray over it fearfully. God, help me to keep a good name. That's important. And so, the devil's out there trying to figure out any way possible to try to get us to trip and fall and mess up things and make a mess of our life and do something that would just destroy our testimony. But God says, no, don't do that. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep on doing what's right. Keep focused. Don't let the devil get in there and make a mess of things. We need to maintain and keep a good name for God's glory. Let's work to that end.